Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The naysayers want to rewrite our nation's history, want to ignore the Christian foundations upon which it was established. Too many school textbooks rewrite our history, and students are graduating without knowing the truth. We see attacks by the ACLU and the Freedom From Religion Foundation on public prayer, religious symbols on public property, or more specifically, Christian symbols on public property. But there are those in Harrisburg who want to remind us of who we are and where we came from. One of those is State Representative Rick Saccone of the 39th District, which is partly in Allegheny County and partly Washington County. We want to welcome you, Representative Saccone. We want to thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Give us a little bit of background. You've been in the State House. This is your second term. What
Correct.
Led you to run for State House, and have you had any previous political experience?
You know, I was looking at the direction of our government, our state government, and our federal government. And it was just, you know, along with many other people, I just felt it was going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to step up. Somebody had to step up and try to change things. And I just decided to do that. I felt I had the skill set to make a contribution. And I just put my hat in the ring, and here I am.
And there you are. Yeah. And we're glad you are there, because you've, as a freshman, you know, last term, you did great things. And I know that as you're beginning your second term, you're going to do great things, as has been evidenced by your introduction of House Resolution 17. Why do you feel that we as a nation need to be reminded of just how important our history is?
Well, you know, we have several generations of people in this country that have been told a falsehood about our heritage and our history. And our leaders, from the founders all the way forward, and our greatest presidents all were God-fearing men, and they believed that this nation had been blessed by God and that we should honor God and that we will continue to be blessed if we do so. We're not allowed to say that for some reason today, and people have been told that that never happened. And so I felt like we could learn the lessons from the great people that came before us, standing on their shoulders, by going back and reading what they wrote and what they believed about our country. And lo and behold, there's so much evidence out there of how they felt and how they called us back and consecrated our nation to the Lord and called us back to pray and look toward him for his hand of providence and his blessings. And I think it's important to remember that if our greatest leaders thought that was important, that maybe we should be thinking that's important too.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you, because increasingly, I can remember my kids have all graduated from high school, and most of them have graduated from college at this point. I can remember my daughter's history book, and this would have been in the mid-90s, and how totally distorted that was at that point. And I know it's gotten worse since then, because there is the effort to rewrite our nation's history, to completely obliterate any evidence that our founding fathers were Christian and any evidence that they believed in a God who was active in people's lives. And we see increased attacks, as I mentioned in the introduction, from the ACLU and Freedom From Religion Foundation. And the news media definitely doesn't want us to know who we are or where we came from. So you introduced House Resolution 17 back in January. And what is the purpose of that resolution?
Well, the resolution is all the words of Abraham Lincoln. He set April 30th, 1863, and this is the 150th anniversary of that, as a day of national prayer and fasting for our nation, so that as a nation we would turn back toward God and acknowledge his blessings and call on him to help us again. Remember, he's in the middle of the Civil War when he did this, and by the way, he did 9 such days like this during his short presidency, and we've done this over 200 times in our nation's history. He felt that this was important right in the middle of the Civil War to turn our country back toward the Lord. If you read his words, they're just so eloquent, and he didn't just set out the resolution himself. It was passed by both houses of Congress and signed into law. So, you know, he went the extra mile. We just made it a resolution here in our state house, but actually both houses of Congress passed his, and he signed it into law. So, and, you know, back then, all the major newspapers, including our now liberal Philadelphia Inquirer, carried that proclamation in full. wrote articles on it. Just imagine that. If we could get our newspapers to carry that type of thing on their front page. And
even on page 3 would be nice.
Yeah, even on page 3, even on the back page would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
They carried these in full, and churches and people across the country prayed and fasted that day. Lots of participation.
Wow.
Just thought it's time for us to think about these things and show that, remind ourselves that we are a nation consecrated to God, and that our leaders thought it was important for us to remember that, so that we should remember it again on the 150th anniversary, in the year of Lincoln, in the year of the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg and all that that's mm-hmm. coming up, that we would put forth his proclamation again to remind us how important those words are.
I wonder if there would be a copy of this resolution in Gettysburg at the National Park there this year.
You know, I don't know. I hope so, but I've been searching around for it at different places. Yeah, I think they should, but as I've searched around, it's hard to find. I went to the National Civil War Museum in Harrisburg, and it wasn't there. They have his four famous documents there, and I thought, you know, this should be one of them. But, you know, there's this effort to kind of erase God mm-hmm. from all history, which is very hard to do in Lincoln's case because he spoke so frequently and eloquently about God in everything he wrote, including the Gettysburg Address, which says, "This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." That's chiseled in the walls of the Lincoln Memorial, so it's very hard to erase it, but they don't like it.
Plus during his presidency, that's when "In God We Trust" started to be put in the coins, too, was during his presidency.
That's right. That's exactly right. In 1862, I believe it was. I have some on display at the college where I teach at St. Vincent's out in Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I have a display on that right now there. But, I think this document should be celebrated with all the other words of Lincoln where he quotes God. His second inaugural address, he quotes God. He mentions God 14 times and quotes the Bible 4 times.
Wow. And we knew he was serious. I mean, we can hear politicians quote the Bible or misquote the Bible or misapply what Scripture says. We hear that too many times, especially the Golden Rule. And this has become a very popular thing to use to misconstrue what the Lord meant, what God meant in those words. But,
yeah, you know, on the another interesting thing about this resolution is Lincoln was basically mimicking George Washington's proclamation for a National Day of Prayer and mm-hmm. Fasting on his inauguration back in April 30th, 1789 in New York City. And so it's basically the same that Washington started, the same proclamation, same kind of words. Washington called us to do the same things. And on that day, if you remember, Washington consecrated our country to God. After he gave his first inaugural speech, he marched to both houses of Congress up Wall Street there to St. Paul's Chapel. And they had a prayer service there where he consecrated our nation to God. If you know, it's right where Ground Zero is today mm-hmm. in New York City. It's the only building that really wasn't touched by that of all those other buildings that were destroyed. So St. Paul's is still there, and that's the place where he consecrated our nation to God. So Lincoln was kind of honoring Washington's proclamation of April 30th, because that's when the inauguration used to be, and New York was our capital then. And now, 150 years from when Lincoln did it, I'm doing it. So,
fantastic. I think we need to make an effort to call, like, at least Gettysburg, the battleground there, the national park there, and ask them if they're going to display that. And, you know, maybe call our local schools and ask them if they're going to mention this proclamation in their history classes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is an historic day, and we need to remember what happened 150 years ago on April 30th.
Yes.
And
we're trying to get people across the state. I've got a number of groups working on telling all their churches in their area so that on April 30th this year, we actually have hundreds and hundreds of churches and thousands of people praying and fasting for our country on that day.
Fantastic. That was one of my questions. You already answered it. So there's a concerted effort then to get churches and Christians across the state to be involved in fasting and praying for the nation.
Yes.
Great. And there's no doubt that we need that, and we need to take it very seriously because our nation is headed down the wrong path at an ever-increasing pace.
Yes, I tell people wherever I go about this that there has really never been a greater need than today for our people to hear the truth of our godly heritage, and there really has never been a greater need than today for our people to hear that truth reaffirmed by their leaders. And so that's why this proclamation is so important, and it's so important that we passed it as a House of Representatives so that we could reaffirm those words to our people and let them know that their leaders still do believe in God and believe that we should turn to him for guidance.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Did you get any kind of negative feedback or pushback from any of your fellow House members?
I did, from fellow House members, yeah. Some of the very liberal House members opposed it. But the funny thing was, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, when I did the Year of the Bible last year,
mm-hmm.
and the Pennsylvania Atheists Association, you know, sued me in federal court, and, you know, they came after me. But this time, it's interesting because the head of the Pennsylvania Atheists Association called me a week before we passed it and said, "Rick, I support your resolution." And I just about fell out of my chair.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, thank you. I said, would you mind calling the Speaker of the House and telling him that? And he did.
Oh, good.
But the national level, that Freedom from Religion
That's a radical group.
They're radical, and they are in contact with people in our state legislature trying to defeat this thing, but it didn't work, so
wow.
We did pass it.
Wow, that's good. So the head of the Pennsylvania American Atheist Group called and said that.
The resolution.
Wow.
Because he realizes it's a historical, it's a part of our history, and you can't deny that, and we shouldn't deny our history.
Well, that's good.
A lot of people are out there saying, you know, it's unconstitutional. You can't refer to God or ask his guidance or anything that's dealing with government. And you know, I just refer your listeners to the preamble of our state constitution.
Exactly.
It says, you know, we the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of civil and religious liberty, and humbly invoking his guidance, do ordain and establish this Constitution. So the people that wrote our state Constitution invoked God's guidance to write it. So why shouldn't we be able to vote invoke
exactly.
His guidance
as
a government?
In the news release I issued last March when the Freedom from Religion Foundation sued you and the House parliamentarian and the chief clerk of the State House, they represented 80 Pennsylvania residents, is my understanding, in that lawsuit. But I also quoted from the preamble of the PA Constitution.
Good.
You know, like, obviously, they were very selective in what they read in the Pennsylvania Constitution when they wrote up that lawsuit. But it's very evident that the people who wrote the Constitution knew where we came from.
Exactly. And, you know, we won that lawsuit, so,
yeah.
I mean, I'm happy about that. But there's so many misperceptions out there. I mean, the atheists and the secularists like to quote, you know, that William Penn, our founder, was a Quaker deist and all
mm-hmm.
this. And I say, look, if you haven't read William Penn, please go read No Cross, No Crown and go read his papers, the papers of William Penn. But one of the very first paragraphs of the Frame of Government that he wrote, which is one of our first forms of law in this whole Commonwealth, he says, the glory of Almighty God and the good of mankind is the reason and end of government, and therefore government in itself is a venerable ordinance of God. So there is no separation of church and state, according to William Penn. He believes government is an ordinance of God,
mm-hmm.
and it's the reason government exists. And we need to remember that as our founding father himself, William Penn. That's what he believed when he founded this state.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to be reminded of that because, you know, even kids who are, of course, it's required that they take Pennsylvania history, are usually around 5th, 6th grade. That's a requirement of the state. But how much do they really learn about William Penn?
Yes. Unfortunately, they don't, and I'll bet they don't learn anything about what a strong Christian he was.
No. I'm sure that part is totally ignored, which is so tragic because kids need to have that. They need to be rooted in something they can believe in.
Right.
And if they can see that our William Penn and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and our other founding fathers believed in an unchangeable, loving God.
Yep.
Then I think that will totally change the landscape of this nation. And
yes.
Like you said, the ACLU and Freedom from Religion Foundation, especially in your case, they really don't like you. You know, they've zeroed in on, even to the point where last year they, you know, it was the lawsuit and they said that you, of course, had violated the so-called Establishment Clause, and they quoted Article 1, Section 3 of the Pennsylvania Constitution. And even beyond that, in the lawsuit, they wanted the court to enjoin the defendants from further enactments and publications of resolutions establishing and endorsing a state-sanctioned religion. They were saying that with the Year of the Bible last year, that the Pennsylvania State House was actually establishing a state-sanctioned religion. And they wanted the court to tell you and anyone else in the House that they could never do that again. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
What they did. And the billboard they had.
Will not stand. And I think they've backed off a little bit because they didn't come as hard on this one because I think they know they can't win the argument.
Yeah. And what were, you know, so some of the liberal members of the House were opposed to this? What were some of their arguments?
It was the same arguments. Mm-hmm. They're very weak arguments. They said that this resolution is a prayer and it establishes religion. And I said they wanted to erase all the words of Lincoln because he quotes God. And I said, look, it's history. I'm
mm-hmm.
putting out there his words as history. If you want to erase the very words of one of our greatest presidents and deny that he said these things, I think that would be the tragedy, that you would erase the history of all this. Lincoln did it. He had a good reason for doing it. There's things we can learn from it, and we need to reaffirm that. And that's always their argument, and it's a very weak argument. I think there's going to be a time where they're going to have to give it up because it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense, but so much that's going on nowadays doesn't make sense. I told someone last week, it's almost like living in the twilight zone. zones. So many things are happening that we never thought would happen in this nation. But again, points to the importance of House Resolution 17 and the need for us to turn back to God, because that's the only way that we as a nation, that's the only way we're going to survive, is to acknowledge our need for God and to acknowledge the errors that we as a nation and as individuals have made.
It's not just a good thing to do. Lincoln says, and Washington said, it's our duty. He says in his resolution, and whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence and upon the overruling power of God. So it's our duty to do it. It's not just something that's nice to do or he thinks we should do it. He says it's the duty of nations as well as men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's important that we recognize these things. And he just goes on. I encourage your listeners to read the whole proclamation. It's just very well written. He talks about how we've forgotten God. It's very relative to what we say today. We've forgotten the gracious hand that preserves us and how we imagine that all these blessings that we've received are from his hand, and we feel too proud to pray to him, to the God that made us. And so, I mean, he goes on and on. It just really rings true today what he saw back then, and he calls on us to humble ourselves before God, and
yeah.
I think it's just really important that we do that.
Do you have a link to the actual Lincoln's proclamation on your website, or where can we get a...
You know what, that is a good idea. Let me do that. Let me see if I can put a link up there on my webpage. I'll try to get that done today.
Yeah, because I just have a copy of the actual resolution, House Res 17, is what I've got in front of me here. But, yeah, we could have an actual copy of President Lincoln's proclamation so we could read it for ourselves. That'd be great if you could do that.
Yep.
Well, what is your website? Then people can go to...
www.repsaccone.com.
Okay, www.repsaccone.com.
Yes.
Okay, so I encourage your listeners to go check it out and to actually read the words of President Lincoln, which this House Res 17 reminds us of that resolution, and it commemorates the resolution that President Lincoln established in 1863. Again, like you're saying, right during the middle of the Civil War, one of probably the darkest days of this nation.
Yeah, and that's the point, because some people say, well, why are you doing these resolutions? Don't we have some more important things to do? We got the privatization of the liquor stores and pensions and all this. Why don't you do it? Look, Lincoln was in the middle of the Civil War. What could have been more important?
True.
He could have made the excuse that I don't have time to do these things, but he felt it was important enough to do it because it was for the good of our nation.
Yeah, we have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded of that. And as our nation, you know, we've drifted further and further away from God. And in the process, we've seen what's happened to the nation as a whole. As we've left God behind, we've become more immoral and more accepting of things that in the past have not been questioned as being wrong. And we see the result of that. And it's tragic when we can't acknowledge who we are, where we came from, and publicly acknowledge that without fear of being sued by the ACLU or Freedom From Religion Foundation. And I know it was March 21st, House Res 17 passed in the House by a vote of 160-35.
Yes.
And this time, three Republicans voted against it. You know, I'm going to back up to last year. The year the Bible resolution passed unanimously.
Yes.
And this year, the House Res 17 passed by a vote of 160-35. Of the 35 who voted against it, three of them were Republicans.
Yes.
And the rest were Democrats. Didn't totally surprise me when I saw the names of the Republicans who voted against it. But, you know, again, it's tragic that we cannot all come together and acknowledge our nation's history. And
yeah, because right after that resolution, we had a National Day of Prayer resolution was passed by Representative Takelda Jerome, and it passed unanimously.
So what's the difference?
Well, the opposition said, well, his is very ecumenical. It doesn't...
Does it mention God?
It does mention God. It doesn't mention God. You're right. It just mentions that we should pray, and everyone can pray.
Okay, however you want.
Yeah, so they felt, I guess, that was their excuse. I think it was just an excuse.
It was a lame excuse, yeah. Wow. It's a sad day when that happens. So right after House Res passed with 35 voting against it, the National Day of Prayer resolution passed unanimously because it was more neutral.
Right.
Wow, that is tragic. Now, is this the final step, or does the Senate have to vote on this, or is this strictly a House issue?
Strictly a House resolution.
Okay.
So it passed the House, so it is April 30th, by resolution of the State House of Pennsylvania, is our state day of prayer and fasting in honor of Abraham Lincoln's 150th anniversary. That I'm trying to get that framed, that resolution, and a copy of the proclamation that was printed in the Harrisburg Daily Telegraph on April 30th, 1863. I'm going to frame those two and have them on display, hopefully by April 30th.
Good.
And on May 13th, I give my religious liberty tour of the Capitol with all that shows all of the religious symbolism that's in our Capitol.
And there's no denying it's all through that Capitol building.
It's all through it, over 50. We even publish a book on it up there, on a little booklet.
Wow.
And people can get that from me or the chief clerk's office if they want copies of it. I'll get that for them.
Okay, so that's on May 13th?
That's on May 13th. I'm doing a religious liberty tour of that, of the Capitol, and I will have a display of 10 easels also in the bottom rotunda of all some different representations of how God is represented in our government in Washington, D.C. and in Harrisburg.
Wow. Is that open to anybody or just
it's
your
open
constituents?
To everybody.
Okay.
Anybody that's up there. In fact, there will be a March for Jesus that day. They're having a rally in the rotunda also separately from another group that's going to be happen to be up there. So there'll be a lot of religious things going on that day.
A lot of quote-unquote religious nuts, huh? I mean, that's the way the left looks at it anyway. What time does the Religious Liberty Tour start?
They should get, well, I have a busload coming up from Pittsburgh here. So they should arrive there around 10. We usually have a photo on the steps, then take them for the tour around 11 to 12. They have lunch, and then they get introduced on the floor of the House at 1.
Wow. Okay, so the actual tour starts running around 11 o'clock then?
Yes.
Okay, that'd be neat. Okay, so that's May 13th, beginning at 10 with a picture on the Capitol steps, and then the tour starts at 11, Religious Liberty Tour. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll get the word out about that.
Yeah, if people want to come to that, they should let me know that they're coming to my office. Like, I'll make sure we have my son gives the tour.
Okay.
He actually has a really nice tour around the Capitol that he explains the different symbolism. But, you know, you got to take them in groups of 50, so because everybody can't fit in all those rooms at the same time. So I just need to know if people want to get on the actual tour. If they want to just come up and you know, see the displays and come around that day, that's fine. But the on the tour, I've got to make room so that I can get them into.
That's got to be organized.
Yeah, it's got to be organized. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Wow, great. Hey, I really appreciate again. You're a second term House member, and you've done great work specifically on last year's Year of the Bible Resolution and this year's House Res 17. But you know, we need someone like you who is willing to boldly remind us of our nation's history. And I really appreciate your work in that area. I know you do more in the state, you know, in your position as state representative. But I really appreciate you seeing the need for us to be reminded of our history.
I'm happy to do it.
Okay,
doing the Lord's work.
Yeah,
thank
give
you
us
very much.
Give us your website again.
It's www.rep, Saccone, SACCONE.com.
Okay, hey, keep up the good work, and might see you on the 13th then.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.